Welcome to Middlebrow, a service of Scriptorium Daily, the Torrey Honors Institute at Biola University. This is John Mark Reynolds, where big ideas are going to undergo the digital martyrdom. Today, singleness and what it means to be single undergoes the digital martyrdom. I'm here with my partners in crime for the last two broadcasts, Paul Spears, who's head of the Morgan House here at Torrey Honors. Paul, say hello to all your fans.
Hello, all my fans, which I think means my mom and my wife.
I think we're up to scores of listeners.
Okay,
to
well,
every...
got three now.
Hey, I haven't introduced you. You can't talk, Dustin.
Oh,
Stevie.
So sorry.
This is Dr. Dr. Stevie. No, Dustin. No. Stevie's initials are pretentious that way.
Yes.
What's the R stand for, Dustin?
Rolf.
Rolf.
Yes.
Well, you're the Nazi kid in Sound of Music. Isn't it also the dog
from the Muppet Show?
Yeah, I think something like that.
Wow. Such, my fame precedes me.
Yeah, Dustin is one of the senior editors at the Evangelical Outpost, which is also a ministry of Middlebrow Scriptorium, where he works with Joe Carter and other luminaries. How's that project going, by the way, Dustin?
It's going very well. We've got a great team of Torrey student and Torrey graduate writers, and I'm really looking forward to actually seeing what young people have to say about most of the popular topics, politics being one, but art, literature, that sort of thing, because I think that a lot of people are thinking now.
Yeah, of course, my son Ian is at home, if he ever listens to this, just saying the phrase young people sets him off. Some point, he listened to Andre Tarkovsky talk about young people and what they should listen to. And from that point on, he decided he hated the category
young people. How about the young
folks? I hate to say it. I'm young and I'm people.
So you get to say it. Okay, we'll let you say it. We're going to talk about singleness. Of course, two of us are married. I've been married now 23 years. How long have you been married, Paul?
20 years.
Yeah, now I was almost unmarried. So let me say I'm the one who probably can talk most clearly about I was a disastrously badly prepared person for marriage, got into it for all the wrong reasons. Paul, you're probably in a little better shape there. And Dustin, you're a single guy.
I am single.
And so what we want to not talk about is being unmarried.
Yeah, lest my girlfriend come and punch me in the face after this.
I was going to say, because it sounds like we might be doing a dating show if we continued on that.
Yeah.
But look, I have scores of friends, including a very close friend, Thomas Lizzo, who has chosen to be single for the rest of his life. And it has been a choice on his part. He has chosen a life of celibacy, a life where he's not going to do the marriage thing and isn't looking to do the marriage thing.
But most people, 97%, I think is the numbers, will be married
at some
one time
point
or another
on life's way. But if you're part of the 3% that happens to be listening to us right now, I know sometimes inside the church, you can feel like somehow you're defective, you're missing out on life.
Right.
This is utterly false. It is, in fact, a kind of heresy that would say you have to be married to be fully human. Certainly, Paul says exactly the opposite.
But the apostle.
Yeah, the apostle Paul.
I confuse you too.
So, wow. Dustin, happens. Let's talk about this. How does it feel to be a single guy in the church? Now, you do happen to have a girlfriend right now, and that's a good relationship. But are you a person that could be happy not being married? And do you think the church does a good job supporting that kind of lifestyle?
Two big questions. The first is, would I be happy being unmarried? I actually came to Torrey Honors expecting never to be married.
Did I not mock you about
that? I think so. I think one of my first sessions with Paul Spears, I made the remark that I never am going to be married. And of course, my then girlfriend, or my now girlfriend, then not, was sitting across the room. And, you know, as fate would have it. And Paul Spears decided to mock me endlessly. But in all honesty, yeah, you know, I think I could be very happy being single. I could see a full life that a lot of people wouldn't see. Now, does the church actually, you know, prepare you for that? I don't think so. I don't see where in the church family is discussed in the terms of being a single person, for example.
Yeah, how you live a life in community when you go home at night and are in an apartment where you're the only resident.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing we should say is, given the culture we live in, many of us will go through eras of singleness, whether it's through a negative event like a divorce or whether it's through a negative event like death, which sadly is going to happen. I'm married to hope, and at some point, even if everything works out really well, one of us, probably hope, is going to end up living a life of singleness because I will probably die actuarially before she does. Does she spend the rest of her life in mourning, being half a person?
So as you crunch the numbers, men are just going to die before
their wives. That's right. I'm not planning on dying tomorrow, but people don't plan on dying tomorrow, sure. And they do.
Of course, so, some of your recent posts might actually lend itself to her demise.
Lend themselves to fear that ditto heads will come and burn me down where I stand. But why do you think, Paul Spears, you're kind of a church leader, that we do such a bad job envisioning for people what it means to be single? And what do you have to say about a calling to singleness?
Yeah. I think that the first thing I'd say is that before you're married, you should be planning on and thinking hard about what does it mean to be single already. Whether or not you're going to get married, you have to be a good single person before you can be a good married person.
Let's be clear. Singleness isn't the absence of a spouse, whether you're male or female.
Right.
It's being a whole soul. It's being yourself.
Right.
It's being in love with Jesus.
It's being the person that God has called you to be and relying upon Him as the thing that gives you solace, as the thing that gives you purpose. And if you're thinking about the fact that marriage is going to be the thing that gives you fulfillment and purpose as Christ will, then I think you completely have misunderstood God's kingdom project.
Yeah, other than having children, it's not clear to me that there's anything. And of course, adoption provides a way for many single people to provide a valuable service there. But other than having your own children, which
right.
I think you can't do licitly, as a single person inside the Christian faith. Other than that, there's nothing that you can gain from marriage, in my opinion, that you can't gain in the single life.
Right, and especially if you bring into your marriage a desire for someone to fulfill your needs, then you just become a jerk.
Well, that's in fact, it's very clear to me what I did. And both in my relationships in college, which were disastrous, not because I meant to be. I always meant to be doing the right thing, and I didn't understand what was right or wrong, and I was a romantic trying to be in love, and I got hurt, and then I hurt other people, and I brought all that neediness into marriage, and it nearly destroyed things.
Well, let me add another thing to that. I think that what happens, especially in a Christian subculture, is we know that sex is wrong and sinful. We would like to have sex. What happens is people actually decide to get married so that they get the license to be able to have that without the guilt.
Yeah, so
they do what Paul sort of tells them to do, or they think what Paul's telling them to
do,
ease that burning.
Right, because they want is they're attracted to their mate, which is great. But what they're really thinking is, I don't want to feel guilty about this. And so they make a decision that's driven by their desires. And so they think that they can fulfill those by getting married. But they don't think about how they're going to, as a couple, pursue God's kingdom work for themselves. They're thinking more physically. And I just think that happens because of the way that people are trying to outmaneuver the guilt that they're feeling about their desire to be sexually
active. Yeah, that's
right,
because they have several false views. One
right.
of them is that their desire in and of itself is sinful,
right.
Or that relations, they have a sort of Gnostic view of the body, are bad. But then simultaneously, they think, well, the solution is
right.
simply to be able to act on my desires in a licit way.
And the way,
way
to do that is to get the license that says it's okay.
Now, the point is, what does this have to do with the unmarried state? It has all to do with it,
right.
Because the solution to this problem isn't marriage. The solution to this problem is becoming whole, is getting your orders, your desires properly ordered. I think the other thing, though, that's a big problem is community. We live very much in a society that breaks down real community. It's hard enough for married people to actually spend any time with each other,
exactly.
to have real community, as we're all too busy, as we begin to think that twittering each other is a good substitute for real conversation. What are some strategies that we've seen either when we were single or are successful strategies for single people? Dustin, you're single right now, mm-hmm. so we'll start with you. What's a good strategy as you live a life as an out-of-college single guy for finding some real community and not being lonely?
That's more than just dating. Right?
Yeah. Forget dating for a minute. I assume most of your community right now isn't coming from Jen. So suppose disaster strikes and you and Jen, you know, don't continue to date.
Right.
How do you find community outside of that relationship?
Well, one, as a guy, I think it's just time to get comfortable guys hanging out with guys.
Right.
We don't do that enough, especially after college. Guys feel like they have to be sort of lone rangers, do their own thing. And if they start, you know, hanging out with guys, boy, I don't know, there's almost sexuality questions that start to arise. And that's ridiculous. Find a community of guys, and find a community of guys that aren't just watching the usual sort of American Pie films and doing the sort of, you know, reliving the high school football dream or whatever.
Yes.
And that, unfortunately, that's a lot of guys. Find a community of guys who really love the Lord. Find a community of guys who are as serious about ideas as you are, or as serious about the things of God as you are.
But see, Dustin, this makes me so angry. My brother is a celibate heterosexual man who has chosen to live with roommates, mm-hmm. and do other things. And you're exactly right. The minute, especially as you get to be a little older, you're no longer 23, 24, 25, we have to wonder about Sherlock Holmes and Watson. we have to wonder about Spock and Kirk.
Or Lord of the Rings, Frodo and Sam.
Yeah, everything becomes sexualized in our culture. Yep. Women.
Right.
The old two maiden aunts that used to live together and become powerful and strong, now everybody arches an eyebrow inside the church. How can we get over this? You must have seen some of this yourself, where you almost feel more comfortable living alone, even though you're lonely, simply because if you get some roommates, people become skeptical about you.
Well, I think some of it is it's just going to happen. The sad reality of the world we live in is that there's going to be some sort of judgment. But some of the things you can do, I think, is when you are hanging out with guys or whatever, avoid the sort of things that people generally would judge you on. If avoid the sort of activities that would seem homosexual if, in fact, you are a straight man living the life of a celibate straight man.
But you're going to have to live with some perception of evil, because we live in an evil culture where every relationship is sexualized.
Well, because that's exactly right. And I think that what has actually happened by the sexualization of our culture is it's actually kept us from being manly.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
I think that we can't hug each other, that we can't put our arms around each other. I mean, of course, if you go abroad to some European countries, guys hold hands. In our culture, that would just be no way. And so what we've actually done is we've built walls about physical care for each other, where we put our arms around each other, because we've allowed the culture to drive ourselves in that direction.
Well, you should be a straight guy like I am, who likes poetry and musical theater.
Right.
It's a tough...
Since when is that the venue for only people that have different sexual choices?
Well, and don't conform tough world to the usual culture there, right?
Right. No, that's exactly right. So I think singleness brings with it... I think what we're just going to have to say is that people... There is a real sense where homophobia is evil.
Yes,
where people are just judgmental. They rely on stereotypes, and we ought to be able to say that. That doesn't mean homosexual behavior is justifiable. But the very fact that we have to talk about singleness and have this discussion is, in my opinion, reprehensible. Yet, I've had so many friends who have to engage in these kind of defensive postures, even if they didn't think that homosexual relationships are wrong. They didn't want their friendships being turned into something that they weren't.
Again, even if on the good side, if marriage relationships is about the sexual relationship, and there's something very fulfilling and completing about that inside of a marriage, but our lives are not wholly sexual at all times.
Yeah.
Television is terrible at this, because almost any plot on television today is driven in some part, and normally the majority of it, by some sort of sexual tension among two characters.
Right.
And so I think that what you
Which
have to do...
Which covers for relationship, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the pseudo-relationship. It's like, oh, when are they going to hook up? Or whatever.
Right.
So what you have to do, I think, as a single guy, or even as a single lady, is not live your life in such a way that sex defines it. And I think that's hard to do, but I think that at some point you just say...
So that's one of the struggles.
So let's actually not fall into the pit ourselves and move beyond that,
right,
and deal with what are relational strengthening things, Dustin, that you've done, leaving aside any pretense. Like, if people want to be judgmental, to heck with
that.
What do you think are important things for single people to do? And then both Paul and I can contribute from our single friends, and then from our own lives as single men. What do you think? I'm sorry we don't have a single woman, by the way.
Yeah.
We did try to broaden this discussion a little bit, but unfortunately, we're the people who could make it. So it would be nice to have a woman's perspective on this. And I promise we'll revisit this topic with a couple of the women faculty, some of whom are married and some of whom are living good, godly lives as fully fulfilled single women. So what are some tips that you have on this front? How have you gone about this?
Well, one, I would say avoid strategies. The
okay,
world is
great.
Full of 10, 20 steps to be a fulfilled person.
So even in a way, the question was a bad question. So we forget the question.
Yeah, I won't say that directly, but...
No, I will. Yeah, okay, I get that.
But I would say, yeah, avoid strategies. So I think if you're going to live as a single person, be intentional about why you're living as a single person. If you're a Christian, think God is calling you to singleness. And think about the idea of calling. I would say you should invest your life in that. So now let me talk about strategies. Step one, right? Follow your calling.
The Dustin Stevie.
Right. Step two is I would spend time thinking about other things.
Right, other than your singleness.
Other than your singleness. And right, I think that's hard for people. I think at some point, you know, all you can think about is, gosh, I'm single and everyone else around me is married or dating.
But Dustin, let me say that married people are like this too. I mean, as we all know, marriage is described as a kind of white or bloodless martyrdom by a lot of people because it's a death to a sort of selfishness. And I know people who start to think their entire life is defined by their marriage. Focus on the family means that that's all they can focus on.
Yeah.
And that's really sad. That's not what focus intended. And if we get to be focus on my singlehood, I want to point out that it's both are equally bad.
Right. Yeah. Well, I would say though, at the same time is if you have a good idea of why you're single and, you know, I would say develop a robust philosophy, a robust theology of what it means to be a whole soul. And what it means to live.
Whether you're married or single.
That's right. And I think that being married, like then you will come to a point where being married or being single will be better defined. You'll better understand. And I think that's where you really break this strategy idea.
Okay. Here's a novel thought. If we become good people, I'll be a good husband or I would be a good celibate single man.
Yeah.
And being a good husband is no easier or harder, I would argue, than being a good single guy.
So flourishing as a person really doesn't have to do with being single or married. Either one would work and you could flourish in either one of those and serve God properly. And so defining yourselves in terms of this thing is actually an error that we make all the time and allow culture to make for us, even inside the church, right?
Yes, you're so right.
And so we have to start bucking against the fact like, no, God didn't call us necessarily to either of those.
Yeah, when my entire happiness, and I'm a romantic, so I really struggle with this, when my entire happiness is defined by hope and hope's acceptance mm-hmm. of me.
And hope is your wife.
And hope is my wife, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. She has the kind of name where it's easy to misunderstand that.
My life is defined by change.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow,
hope
okay.
and change.
Wow. Okay, moving on.
Or the only hope that we'll have change left after all the change
yeah, wow.
that's occurring currently in the that's culture. True. No, if I allow my life to be defined by hope, I think that I'm equally wrong with the person who allows their life to be defined by their singleness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I will say that if that were the truth, it would be better to be married than to be single, because at least defining my life with a person as opposed to the absence
right.
of a person would be better. But notice if both are wrong, if Jesus is my end, then that's great. Now, I have to say, Paul, that I think married people, we're not good at really doing that. So single people sometimes get, well, they say Jesus, but they really mean hope, or in your case, Lisa,
mm-hmm.
Or in Dustin's case, Jen, as a girlfriend. And I know guys called to singleness who just have to have a girlfriend all the time for lots of different reasons, but partly because it defines their life. Their life can have meaning, at least up to a point.
That's when you're in trouble, though, right?
Yeah. If Perry Mason isn't going to eventually marry Della Street, to use a 1950s TV
wow,
example.
Perry Mason.
Yes, yes. He's a 1950s TV lawyer. Yes, I bet he is on YouTube. You should look. If he's not going to eventually marry his secretary, where there's the obvious tension in the show, he should get over it.
He's a cad, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a cad. He should be whole enough in himself to just move on. In the same way, the married guy who doesn't seem to have a life outside his house, there's something wrong with that.
Or who defines, this is the problem with marriages, right? So you define yourself at first in your early part of your marriage by each other.
Yes.
And then you define yourself by your children. And then the children leave and you don't know who anyone is in the room.
Yeah, it's the problem with people who read A Severe Mercy by Sheldon Van Auken, a book I highly recommend in talking about the problem of evil. But they read the first romantic half of the book and they don't realize that the second half of the book shows living for each other and making your whole life about the other person. Boy, that was a defective way to look at reality.
Right.
And we needed to get beyond that. If you have my inclinations towards romance, I can tell you right now, I went into marriage with the first half of that book engraved on my mind. But the second half of the book, the part of the book full of struggles and pain and a deeper wholeness that had to come to Van and did come to Davy before she died of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that part of the book just flew out of my head. I didn't want to hear
right.
about it.
Yeah.
So I think what we're saying is the call to singleness or to marriage, we think, is pretty much identical with different strategies for working it out. You become a good person.
And if your marriage isn't the kind of thing that is enabling you to pursue more effectively Christ, then yeah. it's a problem. And the same thing with your singleness. Both of those things should be able to stand and be something that is actually enabling you, in different ways, of course, to be more effective.
And you shouldn't have, let me push back, or not push back, but even push further your points. Not only do you have to be a good person, and not only do you have to pursue Christ more, but you can't have quick answers to those.
Nope.
I feel like, you know, if someone will say, great, I want to be a good person. So they're going to go on Google. They're going to Google search good person. They're going to get 10 tips to being a good person. Don't
right.
steal, don't lie, don't cheat, love thy neighbor. But they're not going to think any deeper about
that.
That's right. They're not going to wrestle with, say, Cicero. They're not going to wrestle with Plato. They're not going to wrestle with the scripture. And I think you have to spend your life dedicated to that. You have to really wrestle with, as soon as you hit that hard question of, well, what does it mean to be good? Don't freeze and look for the easy out. Think about it.
But in the single people I've known, and Paul, I'm curious about your comment about this, and in the married people I know, the greatest American cultural deterrent is not porn and sexuality. It's materialism.
Hmm.
It's the belief that things will make me happy.
That's right.
And that if I'm a single guy, I'll substitute the car.
The Xbox 360.
Yeah, that's
flat
right.
screen.
I have all the toys. Now I'll be happy.
Yeah.
But let's face it. Married guys do that just as much as single
sure.
guys. Married gals do it just as much as single gals. Men and women. Hope struggles with the fact that when she gets depressed, she wants to go shopping. And both of us realized at the beginning of this year that we needed to come under spiritual discipline because we tended to buy things to sate depression.
Hmm.
So I'm sad, I'll go get a new iPod. And, you know, I make an okay living. So up to a point, that feels okay.
Right.
But it's not okay. I'm seeking fulfillment out of stuff. And so there again, we get to a kind of core issue. Paul Spears.
Well, it's the fact that we think that these things are going to satiate us, and that what you end up finding out is that sometimes in marriage you're lonely.
Yes, that's right.
And it's sometimes, and you have to stop and think, where did that come from? That's not supposed to be. That's supposed to be the thing that alleviates all of my issues, yeah.
right?
And
doesn't
and
it, at all.
And it doesn't at all. And even when you're single, if you find yourself in a room with a lot of people, you find yourself lonely too.
But
and you say, wait, but now I've decided to be single, and I put myself in a room of people. What is it about my life that is making me lonely? Where am I at spiritually?
Yeah.
I think you have to quit thinking that these are sort of ends in of themselves.
My brother deals with this all the time. Single people have to deal with the stereotypes that either they're lonely and
right.
desperate for company, when in fact they may be living overly busy lives where they need to shake
sure.
loose and have some solitary time. Or secondly, that they have an abundance of time because they don't have children and they don't have a
which,
spouse
which
to
economically
deal with.
Is true, right?
It might be to start with,
right.
but if they're living the kind of life that Dustin is advocating or that you're advocating, pretty soon their life is full. In fact, if they're Americans, overly full.
That's true.
And then people tend to say, well, you don't have kids. You can be the church volunteer for the
right.
XDYZ
we
event.
We need babysitters, child, something in the nursery, and we need someone to put up the chairs.
So
and
all you
single
women and single men will do all those things because obviously I have something to do with my spare
right.
time and you don't.
Right.
That's a
and
value.
It's more important, right? I've got to go be with my kids. Come on now.
Yeah. And whatever you're doing, like hangout time with your friends, boy, that's not important because it's, quote, hangout time with your friends.
Yeah. Nothing meaningful comes of a good conversation with friends.
Yes.
So
that's
clearly
a,
not.
That's right. Whereas if you're playing with your kids with Legos, that's way more important. Now,
sure.
the problem is we're not putting down either activity. They're both equally important. But if we're saying that the life of singleness is really, in some deep way, the same as the life of marriage, that Jesus wants to make us whole, that we're not going to be married in heaven, and we're not going to be single in heaven. We're not going to be defined by our marital status. We're going to be defined by our relationship with Jesus Christ. Faith through grace.
Mm-hmm.
That's what gets us in. Not being married. You can't marry your way into heaven, and you can't be celibate and earn your way to heaven through
right.
good works that way. If we really believe this, then we'll stop looking at people so much through their state. I think it would be worth at some point talking about those chums, those people in our community who've had to go through the pain of divorce. But that sadly is another topic, and how you go on with your life, bring in some people that can talk about that on the other side of divorce. So singleness, the beginning of a conversation here at Scriptorium at Middlebrow, where big ideas, including singleness, always undergo the digital martyrdom. This is John Mark Reynolds with my compatriots Dustin Stevie and Paul Spears, wishing you a very good day.